Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from the 36th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 36, verses 4 through 12. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord that he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah ordered Baruch, saying, I am banned from going to the house of the Lord, so you are to go, and on a day of fasting, in the hearing of all the people in the Lord's house, you shall read the words of the Lord from the scroll that you have written at my dictation. You shall read them also in the hearing of all the men of Judah who come out of their cities. It may be at their plea for mercy will come before the Lord, and that every one will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and wrath that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did all that Jeremiah the prophet ordered him about reading from the scroll the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. In the fifth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, all the people in Jerusalem and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. Then, in the hearing of all the people, Baruch read the words of Jeremiah from the scroll in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the secretary, which was in the upper court at the entry of the new gate in the Lord's house. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the king's house into the secretary's chamber, and all the officials were sitting there. Elishama the secretary, Deliah the son of Shemaniah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the officials.
I want to thank John for that reading that started out normal, then ended with a lot of difficult names. And so when I texted him last night, I said, do yourself a favor and read that a few times before you get up here. Worst thing you can do is be given a Bible reading and not have time to prepare for it, especially when there's challenging names in there. So I want to thank John for that effort. He did very, very well. All right. This may not sound... Well, two things. It's probably a story that many of us can't just rattle off your tongue. I mean, those of you who haven't read forward probably can't tell me what happens next, but if you can, you're a great Bible student. And you also don't know, well, where is the mistake that someone made in their lives, the thing that we can learn a lesson from? Well, that's going to come a little bit later, and the people that we're going to learn from haven't been really mentioned yet. But I felt this was at least important for us to get this passage read to give you an idea of what's coming up. This should be my last one of the people that make mistakes. I thought, well, I'll just continue through the month of June, and then when I have this responsibility in the month of July, I'll be working on a new series. But in this case, here in Jeremiah chapter 36, it is 605 BC. It is the year that Nebuchadnezzar would be invading, with the country of Babylon, would be invading into Judah. This would have been the first of three invasions that took over Judah and Jerusalem. And eventually, you know, the city would be captured and the majority of the people would be taken away into captivity. But this is the first of the invasions and was not quite as utterly destroying type thing as would come. But still, it was not a good time for Judah. As John did read, he mentioned the name in there, Jehoiakim. He is the king of Judah at this time, and God is going to give him one more prophetic message for them to be able to avoid this calamity that was going to be coming upon them. And he was going to be able to warn the king and all the people about this coming invasion. So I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I do want to read the first three verses in addition to what John read. So there in Jeremiah 36, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the day of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." And so this wasn't just something that the Lord was going to dictate a letter right now, or tell Jeremiah what to dictate to Baruch. He says, "I want you to write down everything that I've told you." And just like we can look at the epistles and the different gospels about the accounts being remembered precisely, I have to think the Holy Spirit was with Jeremiah here as well to help him remember everything that he had been told. But with that basis, now you can maybe understand a little bit of what John was saying, what John was talking about. This scroll from which Baruch was reading, with all the words that had been given to Jeremiah from the beginning of his prophetic message or his duties up until this day. And so God does tell him, and he says, "Take the scroll, and everything I've spoken to you, you need to write it down." Now, there are two reasons that we are given as to why this was necessary. The first, in verse 3, says, God says, "I'm doing this so that everyone may turn from his evil way." God wants to inform the people of their sins. He doesn't want this to be a surprise. He doesn't want, when the judgment comes, he didn't want that to be the first time that they had been given any chance to do anything about it. And he doesn't want to conceal his laws. He doesn't want to have any of this be unexpected by anybody. He wants the people to know the laws, and he needs them to be informed of what they say. Secondly, God gives his word so that people can turn from their evil ways, and then he can forgive them. God's word, the whole purpose of it being given, no matter if it was Old Testament or New Testament, God's word is given so that people can understand the sin that's in their lives. They can understand the need for them to turn from that sin, and then they can do something about it. And if by doing that, God will forgive them. God does not want to judge people for their sin. He would rather people obey him and they leave that sin behind. And then on the day of judgment, he can welcome them into his kingdom or into heaven. And so we can know that he doesn't want to judge people because he sent his son to this earth to die for us. And so that is the purpose of God's word. God's word is purpose is to save. So we need to know what God's word is, and we should want to know what it is to avoid the calamity. We may not have the Babylonian army on our doorstep, but we may have other things that are going to cause our downfall. And if we know what the word says, we can help prepare. So now, as we go into the portion that John read, verses 4 through 12, God now wants his word. Once this scroll has been completed, once all the words have been written down, God wants his word to be read. He wants it to be given to the people. So Jeremiah instructs his scribe, Baruch, to proclaim the word of the Lord from that was written in the scroll, and he wants it to be given to all the people in the temple. He selected a day, which would be a day of fasting, where there would be people assembled at the temple, and he did not want to wait when there'd be very few people. He wanted this to be read aloud so that people, a large number of people, would be able to hear it, respond to it. And so, if you think about it, this is why the word of the Lord is supposed to be taught. It's supposed to be taught so that we can help people understand what they need to do. It's not that it's more difficult today or less difficult today, but we still have challenges today where the world more and more is telling you that we don't want to hear anything religious. We don't want to hear about anything. You just keep that to yourselves. I'd go one step further. They're saying, you keep that to yourselves, and then we're going to criticize you for that belief as well. So these are things that we have to overcome. People who just don't want to listen, but that doesn't change the fact that we've been commanded to do that. And so we must proclaim the word of the Lord not only here this morning, but on Tuesday at 10 o'clock or Friday at, 6 a.m., if that's what it takes. We are not to hold back. because the people today need to hear his words as well. They have evil ways from which they need to depart, and they certainly need to be forgiven by the Lord. And so we also see the need to proclaim it. If we are able to proclaim it, well, then we personally need to know what it is that we are proclaiming. And so we need to look at things verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and understand what it is that we're going to teach and preach to others about God's word. And that's done partially by things like this today. Our Bible classes this morning, when Gary does a fine job here this morning teaching to us from the book of Isaiah. Don't give me that look, Gary. You're going to do a fine job. But if we were looking at some secular book that was based upon some philosopher or some psychologist, whatever the case may be, that would not be a good use of our time, because then we're studying about men's opinions, men's thoughts. But no, we're going to be studying directly from the Word of God. We're going to take that and we're going to understand what we need to do. On the flip side, if I was up here just telling you what I did on my Saturday, not much, but other than writing my sermons and so forth, if I was just up here telling stories or not talking about anything, I would be failing in my duties, because my words wouldn't be based upon the message that we have all been given. So we're to open up the Word of the Lord and learn what it has to say so that we can do a good job in preaching and teaching the others. So Baruch does just as he was instructed. Verse 8 tells us that Baruch went in and he read everything that was on the scroll. He proclaimed God's word, and he proclaimed it in the temple of the Lord on a busy, congested day. Verse 9 tells us that a year has gone by from the time that he had started preaching to the people, and he's still doing so. You got to think, the Lord had probably told Jeremiah quite a few things, and the scroll wasn't something you read over lunch. You know, it took him some time to go through and to read these things, but that being said, I don't think it took a year. But he was there repeatedly spreading and proclaiming the word. And so probably a reason why people might be fasting, maybe more so than they had maybe 5 years previous, is that we had been told this was in the year that Nebuchadnezzar would be invading. Well, for a year later, that invasion has already taken place. Baruch still hasn't stopped proclaiming the word. He hasn't stopped trying to help people understand that, yes, we've been conquered, we've been invaded, but we still have responsibilities to the Lord. Our situations in life don't dictate when we can and can't be faithful. And so Baruch is still reading, and he's acting through this scroll as really the mouth of the Lord, telling them what they still need to do. And so the reaction of the people is what we find here in verses 13 through 19 in Jeremiah 36. Verses 14 and 15 tell us that the officials of the city were supportive of Baruch reading the scroll over and over again, you know, at a regular interval. Verse 16 says, when they heard all the words, they turned one to another in fear. They responded correctly. They had the right response. When they heard the word of the Lord, they realized this doom that was being proclaimed, that was impacting them. They were now seeing the effects of that invasion, and they were realizing that this was something that was done because of the sin of the nation. And so the officials tell Baruch that they need to say, we need to go to the king and let him know everything that you've been saying. But they knew how it would turn out. They were very much aware that there'd be some shooting of a messenger type situation going on here. He would be putting himself in danger if he would stand before the king and read this message. And so in verse 19, the officials tell Baruch that he and Jeremiah, you need to head for the hills. You need to go, well, they probably literally did head for the hills. They need to go somewhere and they need to hide, because your lives are going to be in jeopardy. And so the officials understood what the message was. They understood the importance of it. And they also understood the king. And they understood that their lives would be in danger. And they took the right response they defended those that were proclaiming the word of the Lord. And so Throughout the book of Jeremiah, this had been the response to Jeremiah's ministry. Rather than listening to the word of the Lord, they tried to discredit. They had tried to silence him. And in a couple different cases, they did try to kill Jeremiah. But the word of the Lord is the authority, not the speaker. They could have struck down Jeremiah. They could have struck down Baruch. The Lord would have found another person to come and give his word. And so we need to consider that if the message is the reading of God's word, you could be angry at that message. People may not like it, but it doesn't change the fact that it is the message of God. And I got to hurry up. We need to understand that God's word does step on everyone's toes at one time or another. We've all had a situation where, oh, I can't do that. Or, you know what, I really would like to do this, but I know. That's the attitude we need to have. You know what, that would be fun, but I need to be grounded in what the Lord has told me. Even the best person will have a time or two where they realize that they shouldn't do something that they want to do, because the word of the Lord will convict us of that sin if we carry through it. And so that's what the purpose of the Lord is. Remember, he wants us to be aware of our sin, and he wants us to come to him to forgive us. So then as we look at verses 20 through 26 of Jeremiah 36, we can understand now this is kind of where the mistake is. This is where we're going to learn a lesson based upon the reactions that are found here in this book. The officials go to the court of the king, and they have Baruch's scroll with them. And Jehudi, here, this is, I told John to be careful about the words, I didn't read. Jehudi begins to read from the scroll of Jeremiah while the king is sitting next to a fire. And I just thought it was interesting. They said he's in his winter palace. Now, when we think of Israel, we think of it always being 110 degrees and dry and warm, but they had, at least then, they had a cool season. Climate change could have changed. I'm kidding. There was a time where they were chilly, and it says it is in the ninth month, and I was curious, and so I went and looked, and the their months didn't line up with the beginnings and the endings of our months. They usually were in the middle of a month, so this could have been anywhere from where we are, from what we have the month of November. It would have been anywhere from the middle of November to the middle of December, and so it was chilly there as well. And so as Jehudi would read a few columns of the scroll, you'd be scrolling to get to the next part of it, and the king would simply just take a knife and he would cut off what had already been read. Now, it wasn't because he was wanting to put it in his wallet. He wanted to have it as a keepsake so he could look at it and reflect back on it. As he would cut from the scroll, he just threw it into the fire. And this kept going on until the entire scroll had been read, and the entire scroll had been cut into pieces and thrown into the fire. And so in verse 24, we find these words, "Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments." They reacted completely differently than the people that were in the temple. They looked at each other in fear. They realized the danger that they were in, not only a physical danger from the invasion, but a spiritual danger they had in their lives. But the king and his servants were not afraid. None of them were moved to action at all. And the officials were begging the king not to destroy the scroll, but they did. He did. In 2 Kings 22:11, when King Josiah heard the word of the Lord, he tore his clothes and began massive reforms to try to turn the nation from their sins. That was not how Jehoiakim reacted. It is easy for us to not want to listen to the word of the Lord. People today are literally, well, figuratively, cutting the word of the Lord and just casting it into the fire. They are disregarding what it has to say, and they're not applying it to their lives. But on the flip side, those of us who are here studying, I'm sure we all own a Bible, but if that Bible is just there on the coffee table looking nice next to that coffee table book that wants to show you about architecture or something, if that Bible is just there on the table and we never open it, it doesn't do us any good either. And so we have to look at how other people respond to it, but we ourselves have to be involved and absorb what it tells us. Now, the last part of this chapter, 27 through 32, after the scroll is burned, God says to Jeremiah, you're to write another scroll. The word is not what's on the scroll. It can be burned. And so we can always have another scroll. And God tells Jeremiah to not only write what had previously been on the scroll, but he wants to add a prologue or, you know, an addendum, something that rolls right before the credits in a movie, something that's added in after the main story has been done. And those verses I will read, 30 and 31 of Jeremiah 36. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night. And I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, but they would not hear. The lesson we can learn from Jehoiakim and his family is that we need to be very cautious when we are rejecting the word of the Lord. When we decide that there's a portion of it that we may not want to listen to, and I understand most of us here today don't typically have that attitude, but there can always be something that we might not want to have be a part of our lives or may not understand why it is. But if we listen to the Lord and we change our hearts and our lives based upon it, then God's judgment that will stop it from happening. But if we reject it and we don't make any change in our lives, then God's judgment will be placed upon us. And just like Jehoiakim and all his leaders, we will be cut out and thrown into the fire. We cannot cut and paste different parts of the Bible. There's a comedian that I like listening to. Debbie and I have talked about him. His name is Dusty Slay, and he has a podcast that I like to listen to when I'm mowing my grass. And he's a comedian, but he's spiritual. And just at the end of his podcast, he always ends it with a little bit of a spiritual talk. And this week I was listening, he said that he still doesn't believe that all food is unclean. I know what he told Peter. I know what was told in Peter, but Jesus didn't say that. And so I don't think, and so he was cutting and pasting what he wants to hear or what, and matter of fact, his wife who's on the podcast said, yeah, most people aren't going to agree with you on things like that, but that, you know, you go ahead and believe what you want to believe. Well, that's not the attitude she should be telling him. Most people don't agree with you on that because it's totally separate from what the word of the Lord is. And so we have to be careful that we aren't doing that same thing, cutting and pasting parts of the word that we don't like. And so, in conclusion, God's word, going back to the beginning, God's word is given so that man and us today here, anyone that we know, we can realize that there are evil ways in our life and that we need to turn from them so that God may forgive us. Cliff will have the prayer and we'll just be dismissed to our class.